Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 15. In verse 11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, we are meant to have joy. We are meant to have joy. Even in difficult circumstances, we are meant to have joy. Sometimes people lose their joy. And that can happen for any number of reasons. But that's not what God desires for us. God wants every believer to have joy. In Nehemiah 8:10, the Word of God says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. There are some people who do not have a very strong faith. They just find it very difficult to trust God. And sometimes that comes because they don't get the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we can't have faith, because what are we going to have faith in? But that can also come because people lose their joy. Joy is one of the most important things that God has given us, because it's the attitude and the nature of God. In heaven, there's a tremendous amount of laughter. As a matter of fact, God laughs. For example, in the original languages, the Bible has a lot of jokes in it. A lot of puns, which is kind of a word play. Things worded in such a way as to make them funny. There's all kinds of humor. I mean, think about it. The account of Balaam and his donkey. Now, Balaam was a carnal prophet. Carnal means that he was not a godly guy. He wasn't thinking right, but he did have a call on his life to be a prophet. He just wasn't doing it very well. And the king of Moab, who was an enemy to Israel, he wanted Balaam to curse Israel. Now, Balaam was a prophet of God. He said, "I can't curse Israel. God won't let me curse Israel." But the king offered him all kinds of money. And so Balaam went to God and he said, "Can I do it? Can I curse Israel?" Now, I'm sorry. You got to be a little thick in the head to ask God that. "Can I curse your people, God? The ones you chose. Can I curse them?" God said, "No." And the king offered him more money. "Can I curse him, please, God? Can I curse him?" "No." And one more time, Balaam said, "God, can I? Okay, go ahead and curse him." God said, "Go ahead, see what happens. Go ahead and curse him. You want to curse him, curse him." That was not a good move. Now, Balaam is riding on his donkey. And he's riding next to a stone wall. And the donkey leans against the wall in such a way that he hurts Balaam's leg. And Balaam gets off and he starts beating the donkey. Now, why did the donkey stop and lean against the wall? Because he saw the angel of God standing in front of him. The donkey had a better relationship with God than the prophet. Now, the donkey saw the angel there, and he was standing there with a sword. Never a good sign. He's standing there with a sword, and he stops because he has some sense. Balaam, on the other hand, had no sense. So he starts hitting the donkey, and the donkey talks to him. God gave the donkey the ability to speak right there and then. And he says to him, "Why are you hitting me? Have I not been your faithful donkey? Have I not always done what you said?" And Balaam started to answer the donkey. "Tell me, who's the jackass?" Now, this is funny. God thought it was hysterical, right? I mean, come on, you're having a conversation and you're serious about it with a donkey. If a donkey started talking to me, I'd look at it like, "Oh my God, did I just hear this donkey talk?" But no, Balaam just says, "Oh yeah, donkey, well let me tell you something." The guy is thick. Now, God has this sense of humor. The angel said to Balaam, when all of a sudden he realized what was going on, it took a little while, but all of a sudden it dawns on him, hey, I'm talking to a donkey. And he looks where the donkey is. Oh, hey, there's an angel there. And he's got a sword. Figure it out. Now, the donkey was aware of this all along. All right. He was thick. And the angel said to Balaam, had you taken one more step, I would have killed you. Why? Because he wanted to curse God's people and God would not allow it. And he insisted on it. And God said, have you done it, I would have killed you. Well, you know what? That donkey saved his life. Because the donkey had more sense than the prophet. That's amusing. Can you imagine what the angels must have been like watching this? This prophet, this supposedly big to-do guy arguing with this donkey? I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I would have busted out laughing if I had seen that. But I think the angels did too, and I think God had a really good time with it. Why? God has this incredible sense of humor. God loves laughter when it's godly laughter. Sometimes people laugh at the wrong things. Things that aren't really funny or things that are really ungodly. But a spirit-filled believer will have a lot of joy in their heart, will have a lot of laughter. God loves that laughter. When you get to heaven, one of the things you will recognize is heaven is laughing. And it's laughing all the time. When you get to heaven, you're going to laugh more than you've ever laughed in your entire life on earth. You're going to have this amazing sense of humor, and so is everybody else. Because God made us for this. God made us to have joy. Now, sometimes we do endure some difficult things. And it's not sin to not be happy all the time, right? Who's going to be happy when something sad happens? Something bad happens and people will be sad about it. It's perfectly normal. It's perfectly okay. It says in Psalm 30 verse 5 that weeping endures for the night, but there's joy in the morning. You see, even when we have times when we're going to be sad, and there are such times, don't be surprised when they happen. It's normal. The end result is that the sadness will never last forever. It may last for a little while. I mean, for example, somebody dies and their family gets really sad about it, and that's fine, that's normal. It would be weird if they weren't. But that doesn't last forever. Joy does come back. So even in the worst of your situations, joy will always come back because you are made for joy. These things I've said to you, Jesus said, that my joy may be in you. So it's not even just that you have joy. You also have God's joy in you. The way you get God's joy starts with the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. It's Romans 10:17. So you receive the Word of God, and you start to have God's thoughts. As you start to have God's thoughts, you also start to see things the way God sees them. When that takes place, all the negative parts of human nature are pushed aside. They don't disappear. They'll come back if you stop receiving the Word of God. But when you're consistently receiving the Word of God, those negative things get pushed aside. In other words, they get more distant from you. You don't think that way anymore. When that happens, it brings you into the cross. Now, that's a little bit of a tough idea, I know. Don't worry about whether you can fully grasp how to enter the cross. The cross is simply a way that we get to the life of God. You see, the Word of God produces God's quality of life in us. And that's why we have His joy. And the way that it does that is by giving us His thoughts. All of your experiences are based in the way that you think. It's not even so much what happens that gives you the experience. It's the way that you think that gives you an experience. Positive or negative experiences are really about positive or negative thinking. Thinking with the Word of God, which is positive, or thinking without the Word of God, which is negative. And so, all my experiences are really about how I see things, how I think about things, how I consider. And if I think with the Word of God, all my experiences will be the experiences God intends for me. Now, I didn't say they're all going to be easy. I did say they're all going to be what God intends for me. Because of that, I start to have the life of God. In other words, God experiences things also. And the way God experiences things, I can experience things because I think what He thinks. And that's through the Word of God. So Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. And by the way, so have you. Whether you feel it, whether you see it, doesn't make any difference. This is an eternal reality. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. Well, if Christ lives in me, I can have His joy. If Christ lives in me, I can have His thoughts, His experiences, His moods, His emotions. Everything that Christ is and has, I can be that, and I can have that because He lives in me. And I get that starting with the Word of God. And the Word of God, when that comes in, the Holy Spirit takes it, and He causes me to grow, and He brings me to this place where I'm experiencing God's experiences, where I have God's life. In God's life, there is tremendous joy. So Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy will remain in you, and that your joy will be full. So we get a double portion of joy. We have not only our own joy as human beings, as people, we get God's joy as He lives inside of us. So that means that we are made for abundant, enormous joy. And if it happens that something sad takes place, that's okay. But eventually, joy will return. You can bet on it, joy will return. Just as sure as you're a human being, joy will return so long as you stay with the Word of God, so long as you keep taking it in. Now, in John 10:10, Satan is a thief. And one of the things that he loves to steal from people is their joy. And he does that by getting them self-occupied. Self-occupied is simply another form of pride. Pride was his sin. That's why he got kicked out of heaven, because he got proud. So he gets people to lose their joy, and no matter what details he uses to take it away from them, it's because they got self-occupied. In other words, they were self-centered. The universe revolved around them. It was all about how they feel, what they think of it, and all this kind of thing. Never go down that road. That is a losing proposition. But Satan will project that. In other words, he'll whisper that into your ears, these thoughts of self-centeredness. And he does it to steal your joy, because when your joy is gone, you're weak. You're weak as a kitten. We don't want to be there. We want to stay as close to the Word of God as we can. We want to stay with God as closely as we can. And Psalm 16:11, he says, God shows us the path of life, and in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, in other words, the things that He does for you, there are pleasures forevermore. The happiest people on earth are not the ones who have the things that are not hard, are not the people for whom everything comes easy. The happiest people on earth are not the richest people on earth. The happiest people on earth are the ones who know how to live in the presence of God. Living in the presence of God is not hard at all. It's actually very easy. But it does take humility. You know, when you're in your house and somebody's in the room with you, you know they're there. And you may be talking to them or you may not be talking to them. Maybe you're doing your homework or something. And they're in the room and they're doing whatever they're doing, but you know they're there. You're living in their presence. And they're living in your presence. Now, if you wanted to, you could talk to them, they'd hear you, and you could have a conversation with them. And if you want to be quiet, you can be quiet, they're still there. Well, you see, that's what it's like in the presence of God. One of the things that's reflected when people think well in their relationships, and this is friends or spouses or whatever, is that even if they're quiet, the relationship is good. It's fine. They don't need the other person to keep talking. They don't need to keep talking to keep the other person happy. They're just content to be in each other's presence. You take a long trip somewhere. You're happy to go on a trip, but you're not talking the whole ride. Sometimes you're just quiet. It doesn't mean that you're not happy. It doesn't mean things aren't going well. It doesn't mean that the relationships with the people in the car aren't good. No, you're just quiet. Sometimes it's like that with God too. Sometimes God talks, and you'll know it when He does. And sometimes He's just quiet. He loves to be in your presence. Well, likewise, we live in the awareness of His presence. And in that awareness, joy comes in. Because He is the source of that joy. These things I have spoken unto you that My joy may remain in you. Well, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. If I'm in the presence of God, it's because I'm thinking with Him. In other words, if you're talking to somebody, if you're having an exchange with somebody, you usually face them. I mean, you can talk to somebody with your back turned or something, but you're still engaged with them. So at least mentally, you're face to face with them. It's like that with God too. If you turn your back on Him, it's kind of like having no presence. The way that you turn your back on God is you stop talking to Him, you stop thinking about Him, you stop realizing that you're in His presence. He'll never leave you, but we can turn our back on Him, and that's never a good thing. When that happens, that's one of the ways that Satan gets us to lose our joy. Always live in the consciousness of God's presence, the awareness of it. It may not be in the forefront of your thinking, but it's always at least in the back of your mind. Just like somebody in the room with you. You're not worrying, thinking about, concentrating on the fact that there's somebody in the room with you. You just know that they are. It works the same way with God. You just know that He's there and know it all the time. And that alone can produce tremendous confidence because you know He loves you. And when you know He loves you, that gives you a ton of joy. In Galatians 5:22, one of the results of the Holy Spirit's presence is joy. If I have a good relationship to the Holy Spirit is God, and the way that comes is through His Word and talking to Him, well, guess what? He produces joy in you. Okay, that's one of the results. There's several results. That's the number two one that the Bible says. The first one is love. He loves you up. The second one is it produces joy in you. Being loved by God is amazing. A merry heart, in Proverbs 17:22, does good like medicine. One of the reasons, and there are a lot of them, but one of the reasons that some people get sick is they don't have joy. And instead, they live in stress, in anxiety, in fear, in nervousness. And that has a biological result. That actually changes things in your body. Now, I'm not saying it replaces things or moves them around, but certain chemicals are released in your body when those things happen. And those chemicals are not always very good for you. There's something called, for example, stress hormones. Joy really helps to take away stress hormones. Stress hormones can give you a heart attack. Now, I'm not saying everybody that's stressed is going to have a heart attack, but I am saying stress hormones are not good for you. Joy helps to deal with that. If you learn how to have joy, and really learning how to have joy is really all about learning how to have humility. Joy and humility are closely combined. People who are humble tend to have a lot of joy. People who are proud tend to have very little. If you are humble, then joy is going to follow. And when you have joy, you actually are a much physically healthy person than when you don't have joy. It really is like medicine. The healthiest people in the world laugh a lot. They really do. It does amazing things. Did you know that every time you laugh, you prolong your life? I don't remember the exact amount, but it's a startling amount. It's like 10 minutes added to your life every time you laugh. Every time you laugh, you prolong your life. You want to live a long time? Get the humility that'll lead to joy, and with joy comes a lot of laughter. Don't let anyone take away your joy. Satan will try because he's a stinker. Don't let anybody try to take away your joy. If they try, don't be mean to them. Let's say a person says, well, you shouldn't have so much joy, and they dump all this negative stuff on you. Be nice to them. Don't pay any attention to what they're saying. Definitely don't take it in. Don't internalize those kind of thoughts. Those are not good thoughts to internalize. Let them have their say. Maybe it'll make them feel better, and that's got its own value. But you don't soak that in. You realize, that's your issue. That's not my issue. I'll help you if I can. But I'm not going to go there with you. I'm not going to lose my joy for you. Don't lose your joy for anybody. Number one, if you do it, you won't do anybody else any good anyway. And number two, it'll end up damaging you. Make sure you hold on to your joy. You don't want to lose that. And if somebody doesn't like it, too bad. Make sure you hold on to joy, because joy is an amazing provision from God for a healthy life. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.